Well, I picked that song for a reason, since that's the topic I wanted to talk about, or at least sort of. And I was considering whether I should have us sing it afterwards and try to have people meditate more on the words. But then I thought, well, I'll just pick it before, and hopefully that's good enough. So I guess I'll just read a few scriptures, and pretty much leave it at that. And try not to make it too long. So the first one will be Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I guess the last part there kind of stuck out to me, like, you know, that's where God's blessing is. I mean, I guess you could take it that that's talking about the mountains of Zion, but I think it's, all right. I'd like to think it's more like where brothers dwell in unity, that's where God's blessings are. Verses in 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 10. Let's see, no, actually, it's 1 Peter, I believe. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Thinking of reading the chapter of Ephesians 4. I couldn't decide if there's some of it there that I thought, well, maybe I'd skip over it. I thought, well, I'd just read the whole chapter. So, Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner of worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does he mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So that's all I was planning to read. I had a few more things written down, but I decided not to read them. I guess the topic of unity or loving one another is something that, how would I put it, is something that's heavy on my heart, or something that bothers me a lot when I see disunity in amongst brothers, in families, and I guess in general, or a lot of time, it's mostly, yeah, I guess just all over the place. And I guess what I would like to bring out, or my encouragement, is if we have love, like in that song, or like in some of these verses here, it seems to me if we have love as our goal, and we don't, like, the reasons we do things is because we love someone, not because we want to be right or we want to whatever. I feel like things can be worked out and we can, you know, have joy, like in that song. And, yeah, I guess I just want to encourage us all to be very careful. Like, in that one verse, it said, you know, let, let's see which verse was that here. 4:25, it says, having therefore put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor. I guess my thought on that is that we need to speak the truth, but it needs to be because, you know, we love someone. We can't just be speaking truth to people that are, or, you know, using it as a weapon. Even though, you know, the truth can still be the truth, but if we use it wrongly, it can be used, I guess, used, or the devil can use that. Like in verse 27, and give no opportunity to the devil. I guess, you know, for myself, I want to always think through before I speak things. Like, is it for the building up of people that I want to say this? Because if it's just useless, then I may as well not say it, because, you know, we'll be judged by every idle word that we say, or every useless word, I think, is another way of saying it. And if it's harmful, then we for sure shouldn't say it. And I guess it's something that I've probably had several openings previously, kind of along this subject, I believe, if I remember correctly. Like in, I one time would have read like John 17. I forget what the other time was, but I just want to encourage us all to, like in the latter part of Ephesians 4 here, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I guess that's kind of what I'd like to challenge everyone, including myself, you know, to keep that in mind, that we don't do things out of our own desires and trying to put ourselves forward, because that's just, from what I read, that's just does not is not fitting for a Christian. So, thank you all for your attention, and hopefully you can be encouraged by what I said. God bless you all. Feel free to share and comment. I guess there's going to be not a normal message, so I guess the comments and stuff can go for a long time if need be, or unless. Whatever's fitting and upbuilding to everyone.
Thanks for sharing. I had a few thoughts. One of them was that song we sang, and then Brother Brett shared his experience, and just shared how he's sure there's confidence, there's love in each one of our homes. And I have that confidence too, and but I can only speak for our own home in this, that I also am confident that we could use more love. There isn't. It's something we could still grow in, and I don't hope that any of us is just satisfied with where we're at in that. One of the things that doesn't happen when there's no love or I think you have to have love in order for this to happen, and that's forgiveness. We all have people that we need to forgive from time to time, and we all have people that have had to forgive us from time to time, and when there's no love, I don't think forgiveness happens. And unforgiveness is just like an infection in a wound, and there can be no healing as long as that unforgiveness is there. My other thought, or one of my other thoughts, was the idea of truth, about using truth in a wrong way, or the idea that truth should be applied with love. That's very counter-cultural. I think if any of us spend time on the internet, that's not what's popular. And maybe I'm on the internet more than you all and you don't see it, but if you look videos on YouTube or that people like, or have headlines like "so and so destroys this person," like, and people the goals are to win arguments, to destroy the other person, and that's wrong. That's just not a goal that any of us should have, and and I think it can be a bad influence for us if we watch those kind of things a lot. It can tend to make us think that way and act that way. The other, I don't know if you've shared much about this before, maybe you have, but I have at times had that, wondered about that myself, like about whether I just generally say things, say like every time I get up, whether I say something, whether I just say kind of the same things over and over. If people think that I kind of just tend to say the same thing in a different way, I don't know. But anyway, appreciate it. The Lord bless you.
Thanks for sharing, brothers. I appreciate that. I don't remember ever thinking that of you, Norman, that you just repeat yourself, but I don't know. I know how it goes. I try to listen to myself, too, to kind of build a perspective, but I don't know how accurate it is. This morning, I told my family, I think I'm going to read the hardest verse in the Bible for me, that is, for me to accept the thing that Jesus said. And it has to do with this subject of love in the home. I don't fully understand even what all goes on with this verse, but Jesus just simply said, I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against his mother. And then, of course, that raised questions, and we talked about it, and we find other verses that Jesus said that he came to do this or that, and they're way more appealing. They're way more like, I can just figure it out real quick. Like, he came to testify the truth, it says in John. He came as a light in a dark world. But that he came to set a man against his father, or it probably means a son. I mean, he came to set a son against his father and a daughter against his mother. It has to do with, household issues. And so I guess what I ended up kind of concluding was that that's not his ultimate reason for coming, but it can be one of the outworkings of being one of his. That chapter 10 would be a part of Jesus preparing his disciples for, I think, future things, and kind of the outworking of being a Christian. And I think that plays into it. The chapter ends with saying that something about look out, your enemies will be in your own household. anyhow, I think it's necessary to talk about it. I don't think or hope at all that it would be anywhere close to a case to any of our homes, our families. I have confidence it isn't, but I don't know. It'd be nice to get a little glimpse of other people's homes sometimes, a little more, but I guess what we have is what we see, and I'm thankful just for the examples that I can see from you all, and I can learn of that. I appreciate your thoughts, Walter Chenier. They're good things to think about and meditate on. And just see where we're at. God bless you.
Walter's message made me think about that verse, being angry and sinning not. And doesn't seem like no matter how self-controlled we are like a highly emotional creature. We can get easily offended, and it seems like the first thing that starts to slip when we're easily offended is our tongue. And if the tongue is the hardest thing to control, then that's what we need to work towards. And I was kind of thinking about the two girls we witnessed to last night, and the differences in their personalities. Like, one was very, I suppose, explosively frustrated, and one was kind of just kind of tagging along and not really, maybe not so much taking it very seriously, but when I started to ask her questions, she was very emotional about a situation that was going on in her life, and she wasn't mad, and she was kind of happy to, it seemed like she was kind of happy to hear what I had to say to her, and she gave her reasons as to why she had difficulty reading scripture, but I was trying to suggest ideas for her, and I just kind of think about those kind of situations, and along with people that we know or we're familiar with, and you know, sometimes with those that we love or care about, we can get a little bit lax in how we conduct ourselves or how we speak to each other. And why? Because we get comfortable. And I guess if we always kept it in the perspective of, like, this is a person I've never met before, and this might be my only opportunity to speak to them in a true and loving fashion, then I think we would go a lot further in how we speak and interact to each other. I guess I can say, like, sometimes I get a little too lax and think things or might say things to myself that are maybe not the best. And so I would say keep practicing self-control, controlling one's tongue, and this seems like an area we need to work in. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Walter, for that good admonition, and I really appreciate the thoughts that were shared so far. I really like the idea, Norman, of unforgiveness in a relationship kind of being like an infection. I know I've had animals that had infection, and the skin will heal over only to burst open again when the infection comes back, and I just think that's really true. I mean, there maybe even be the appearance of healing, but then something's still going on. They need that little extra something to take care of the infection so that the other physical healing can happen. And I guess what you shared, Brother Atlee, kind of made me want to... Those are really hard verses. That Jesus said other things similar, you know, that he came not to bring peace on earth but a sword. I think that's possibly even in the same passage you're talking about. And I often think, when I think about that and I think about everything that Jesus did and said, I think there's a way, and I don't think this is what you were, I don't think this is where you were coming from, Brother Atlee. I think you're just wondering, like, what, like, how do we grapple with that reality? How do we grapple with the reality that, that there will be division? And I think that what Jesus was saying, this is my opinion, is that following his principles, trying to live his gospel, there would be a natural consequence of relationships that suffer as a result. However, when we approach those circumstances or think about them as they're happening or in reflection, I think it's important to always search ourselves and ask ourselves whether or not the division is happening merely because of the truth, or because we failed on some other front, and we're just grabbing the truth and blaming it. All too often, I've said it before, and I guess I'll say it again, is I feel like I've read accounts of people in the past, like I think of A.W. Tozer, and I think of maybe it was John Wesley, these men who just did these incredible things, you know, for God, or had these great thoughts, and yet they kind of had domestic trouble in their homes. And I don't know about in their cases, but in other cases, it seems like there's a tendency to pretty quickly heap the blame on the unbelieving party. And I'm just generally slow to do that, because I wonder if we put in practice all the principles that Jesus was sharing about marriage, and then the New Testament epistles on marriage, it'd be pretty hard for that to fail on account of somebody practicing the gospel. And then when I take just a broader look at everything that Jesus said, I mean, we could read things that he said and come to the conclusion that he was anti-family, and yet he's the one that gave us the definition for what a healthy marriage is and what that relationship looks like. He's the one who took issue with the scribes and Pharisees for siphoning money away to the temple that should have been used to honor one's parents in taking care of them. He's the one who made sure that little children had access to him. He's also the one, as his final act on earth, made sure that someone would be there to take care of his mom. So when you take those things in the whole, I think that his truth bears a natural consequence of relationships that suffer, and yet I think he was absolutely for family and caring for one spouse. Anyway, I just appreciated the message, and I appreciate the comments. Thank you, brothers.
Thank you for your message, Brother Walter, and it's a goal that we have to strive for. Love, and thank you for the comments. The other, so I was what Robert said about anger. I guess we've heard lessons from Daniel and Buddy and someone else on the tongue. All the animals can be tamed, but nobody can tame the tongue. Anyway, something else to work on, the tongue. You know, it speaks cursing and loving. It goes both ways, and we should try to crucify that thing. Yeah. You didn't bring up on love. You could have. You had many other scriptures, but the love is born of affection. God is love, right? God is love. And one last comment, kind of jumping on what Brother Brett said, and I shared this with a couple of brothers, I think. It was in prison that these Hallmark greeting cards, you know, the fluffy cards. Well, I guess they're okay, but, you know, it's a canned card. You don't, not from your heart, it's from someone else. But and it's good. I guess cards are good. I guess I just. But they did in the prison. I forget which one, true story. But for the inmates, they gave, for Mother's Day, they just gave out hundreds of cards for the inmates because they all have mothers and mother has a special relationship with them. They're in jail. Some could be in life. Some could be just for years. But all the mother's cards from Hallmark, they're all, maybe I shared with you, Max, but they're all taken. All the inmates got them. Yep, every one of them. And they thanked the prison or Hallmark for giving them those mother's cards. So along comes Father's Day. And Hallmark says, let's do it again. So they put the Father's Day cards in there. And guess what happened? Right, Casey? Not a single one. Not a single one. What a shame. Hundreds of thousands of inmates. And they either have no dad, a bad dad, or they have no love for their dad. Things are going to get worse in our life, you know, 2 Timothy 2, but we need to have love. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, Brother Walter, thank you. Great thoughts. I guess I was just going to look here at, closer at this chapter that Brother Atlee mentioned. Yeah, Matthew chapter 10. So I guess I'd give a little more context. So starting at verse 21, it says, now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father will deliver up his child to death as well. A child will rise up against their parents and cause them to put to death. Scroll down to verse 34. And as Brother Max said, yeah, this is in the context. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That would seem to be his words would cut. And we see this, two places that come to mind would be when they were basically bringing Jesus together and doing all the false accusations till eventually they said, yeah, put him to death. He's worthy of death. It says they were cut to the heart. Then likewise in Acts chapter 2, using it in a different way, when they finally realized from Old Testament scripture after the resurrection that they had crucified him, it says they were cut to the heart. And they said, brothers, what should we do? And then there was repentance. But verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set, you know, a man, a person. It's not the word for man. It's more mankind, man, a person, against the father of that person. That would be a more accurate rendering. It doesn't have to be a man. A daughter against her mother, and a bride against her mother-in-law. It's an interesting choice. Those are the three that he chose. So it's a person against their father, it's a daughter against her mother, and then a bride against her mother-in-law. It's just interesting. And then a man's enemies will be in his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Who does not take up his cross, he goes on there, talking about taking up their, you know, self-denial. Yeah, it just seems like what he's talking about there, that his message is going to stir up households and bring division. And it seems like he's saying, you know, allegiance needs to be to me. That's just some thoughts, I guess. One last little comment, too. That's right. I was looking at taking a closer look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Yeah, I think the translation that Brother Walter read, I think, it said, you know, put away all bitterness. I think it said anger and wrath. And then it uses a word, clamor, I think, or whatever. I just thought I would kind of just give more modern English view or the way that I see a more literal rendering of this. So it says put away all, literally would mean sharpness. And I think metaphorically you could definitely understand that as bitterness or maybe harshness. And then the other word after that would be maybe like intense emotional desire, which implies to be temperate and self-controlled. And then anger, and then shouting or yelling, put it all away. And then, yeah, I guess blasphemia, yeah, maybe that could be understood as slander, I guess. anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. Oh, and then the very end, it says, put away from yourself with all, I think they translate it as slander, I think, or something, or malice, I forget. But, yeah, it would be something that would be like everything that would fall in the category of evil or bad, what is not good and stuff. So,
yeah, I just want to say thank you, too, for what's been shared. And Walter already mentioned this, and most people probably saw the text. But instead of a main message, we'll just spend this time, if somebody has any short testimony or inspiration to share that could be edifying. I would like to sing number 107 in the folder and just testify or express my appreciation for the redemption that's available in Jesus Christ to be reconciled back to the Father who's given us life and can restore the wasted years of our life, or as the prophet would say, restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I'm thankful to Jesus and thankful to the Father for the redemption that's in him.